therefore, holy brethren who are in heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest
whom we confess.
The letter to the Hebrews does not specify who the recipients were. However, scholars agree that the recipients of the letter are Jewish Christians. And they are those who came to the faith after hearing the gospel from those who heard it from Jesus. They fought in the world with their faith, whose devotion to the gospel had been weakened for some reason. Some of them have been trying to stop gathering together, and the author even says, "You have become dull in your hearing." Hebrews also attributes this fear to continued and unending suffering rather than a lack of intellectual ability, and to an unresolved fear from the teachings of Judaism. See verse 13, or verse 9 of chapter 13. To this problem, so the problem that they face, this is why Paul writes to them, "Therefore, holy brethren who are in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, apostle and high priest, whom we confess." And I would like to consider today with you these words of Scripture. The expression, "I am in the heavenly calling," is here. This is an expression that describes being invited to the blessings of salvation. The calling is from heaven, and is also something that can be tasted fully in heaven. And so it refers to those whose goal is in heaven and live as holy people on this earth. These words remind us that the values and ways of walking while living on earth are from heaven and do not belong to anything on earth. Do not look at things on earth, but look at the things of heaven. That's what Paul calls us to. The next one is think of Jesus. When you see this phrase, what do you think of first? Many people, including myself, probably think of the cross and of Jesus' sacrifice first. And that is also correct. But in today's Hebrew reading from Hebrews, I would like to share with you what the author would like you to think about the recipients of the letter. When Jesus uses the expression apostle, it means one who sends someone else to do an important work in one's place. The word apostle is often used in the New Testament to refer to Jesus' disciples and Paul, meaning they received orders from Jesus and they were sent by Jesus. There are other occasions where the word apostle is used, including for Paul, but the use of the word apostle to refer to Jesus, who is God, as today's text, is a very special and distinctive expression. The author of this letter intentionally used this word to refer to Jesus. The reason for this is to emphasize that Jesus is sent by God. Jesus came in place of God to do what God had planned and wanted to do. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, it is explained that Jesus is greater than the angels, greater than Moses. The angels and Moses and a few others are recognized by the Jews as beings who received the law from God at the creation or directly on the mountain and conveyed it to the people. What the writer of Hebrews is trying to convey is that Jesus is greater than the angels and greater than Moses. He was sent directly by God to perform the acts that God wanted done. In this way, Jesus was able to directly convey the will of God. It also describes Jesus as the high priest. For in 5:1 it says, "The high priest is chosen from all men and appointed to serve God on behalf of the people, that is, to offer sacrifices and offerings for their sins." So from the beginning, Jesus was sent to do God's work, and that work was to connect people to God as high priest. And so God sent Christ to this earth with a clear goal and intention. And for 33 years, in order to accomplish that goal and intention, Jesus prayed, taught, and quietly endured everything. In his 33 years of life were spent simply walking according to the will of the one who sent him. As I mentioned earlier, the Jewish recipients of the Epistle to the Hebrews were people who walked in faith. They were believers. And what kind of faith did they have? You have not forgotten us. And because of your faith and sharing in the suffering of those connected to the saints in prison, they were acting in love. In chapter 10, they speak of those faced with hardships and enduring bitter and great battles, and because of the faith, shared in the suffering of those who were in prison, and were willing to accept all that was done to them, even though if it was unjust, they suffered because they had their faith. So those who were receiving this letter had a wonderful faith, and we can understand that. We discover through the letter that people were worried about many things, such as the battle over what foods were okay for Christians to eat. And there were Jewish people who were trying to return to the law. And so in chapter 10, he says, you need to maintain your faith and your beliefs. And it's this never-ending persecution that they faced. They worry that they will not be able to endure any longer, and their faith is fading. When I look at this letter to the Hebrews, I think about connecting it with Christians who are fighting a holy battle in this world. People who serve and use their devotion and dedication diligently rejoice in gathering together in faith, they praise God, and all this in the midst of hardship. But here in Japan, there are so few Christians, and I felt that just living with faith at work and at home is a continuous battle of perseverance. This battle is a battle between God's values and the world's value system. And it's something that requires patience because we never know when it will end. So we are told to keep our goals and thirst for more important things. So we're called to persevere and keep our patience. And I have felt that people who are more affected by things that are temporary, which they can see, touch with their hands, and feel with their hearts right now, more so than things of eternal value that are invisible. And so this is another thing that we battle. The Bible is full of people neglecting or forgetting what is more important to keep in mind because they are tired or they're worried about food or they have are afraid. A simple example is in the Old Testament when Esau sold the privilege of being firstborn son in order to have food to fill his stomach after a long day. Or in Exodus, the Israelites forgot God's promises because they had nothing to eat now, no water to drink now, and the giants in front of them were terrifying. And from another angle, we see that Peter was the same. When he saw Jesus walk on the water, he started to walk, believing for a moment that he too could walk on the water. But when he saw the strong wind, however, he became afraid. And there he fell into the water. And so I believe that the hardships we see before us today have many effects, great effects on us. But God knows this. So though we often lose our awareness of our heavenly calling because we don't have something now or can't see the plan or are facing great difficulty now, but God is well aware of our weakness. Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15 says that he is not without compassion. And so I urge you to grasp him more firmly and walk in faith. He is not visible, but what is important is to live by faith, not by that which we can see. And understand that it is eternal life that has the most value to us. That's what this book of Hebrews urges on us. Though we live in this world, we have a conflict of values. Or perhaps it's more correct to say that it's a battle between the values of this world and the values of God, at work, at school, at home, and in conversations with those closest to me. When differences in values appear, I try to explain to them gently and politely at first, But if the battle over the gap in values continues too long, I lose patience. And until I am satisfied and my mind says that's enough, I continue battling. In fact, I was given faith and became a Christian only after coming to Japan. And even now, I am the only Christian in my family, including my relatives. So, while I pray in my heart and talk to them, I can't help but feel that we have a different value system from each other. As this battle goes on longer and longer, there are times when just mentioning the topic brings up a feeling in me that I've had enough and I don't want to talk about it anymore. Five years ago, I went to Korea, and I decided to take my mother to church for the first time. It was my first visit. And my mother, I was thinking it was very peaceful. And there was a time of offering. I was so grateful to have come to the church with my mother. They came for the time of offering. I was so grateful, and I want to give the offering I had prepared. And when I took out my wallet, my mother tried to stop me. And she looked at me with an expression telling me I shouldn't give money to someone I don't know. And the deacon who was holding the offering box was also very confused because he could not go on to for the next person. He couldn't stop. He couldn't go back. And he was very confused. And I remember this very well. I can see it. In the end, I was able to give the offering. But on the Sunday service we had come together, it ended in a fight. And looking back, I wish I had thought about the situation more carefully and explained the difference in values to her first. At that time, firm in my conviction, I had a strong feeling that enough is enough. I've had it with you. But thinking back, I am very regretful and I feel sorry and feel how I offended God, the deacon, and my mother. So a Christian's life is a life of inevitable battles with this kind of value. And I think it's important to be more mindful of our goals because we are called, and to have patience so that our goals and faith will not fade away. Earlier, Pastor Hohn talked about patience. And I think this is important. And this week I was reading a book and the theme of patience came up. So I would like to speak to you about that. Of course, C.S. Lewis is well known as a professor and an author. And in his spare time, he often wrote letters to those who came to him for advice on matters of faith. One of the letters he wrote to a lady was published in a book, and that lady is a person who has been in physical and mental pain for a long time. And one of his sentences said, "Think about this. Think of yourself as a seed waiting patiently in the soil. Think of yourself as a seed waiting for that time when the garden will blossom and sprout into the real world at the time set by the gardeners. The dawn will soon come. Even at this very moment, as I write this letter, the dawn is even closer. As I read this, I felt, it's just that way, isn't it? So to continue to persevere in our earthly walk, not knowing how much time has passed in the dark, only thinking that we'll be led to the true world. This is why we need to be patient. I think the point here is that the garden is prepared and there is a set time that God knows, and that is what gives us hope. And that seed will surely blossom. We have that certainty. And so if you are a Christian who believes in God, you will one day reach your goal at God's appointed time, even though in the present you have to fight a hard battle day after day. The Bible teaches us that there is a point at which the outer man dies and the inner man lives. And there, God teaches his will. And after training, he finally leads us into the promised land. So think of Jesus to the end and keep God's promise in your hearts. So in Hebrews, God teaches Jews who are enduring in the mission. And in chapter 11, he asks them to walk by faith. And he explains that there are not only joyful things in the faith, but there's also suffering one must endure. But in the end, we have peace. Remember that Jesus himself looked up only for the purpose for which he was sent and showed us this way of faith to the end of life. Remember that you have received a heavenly calling, that you are sanctified, and that your purpose is in heaven. With all of this in mind, let us proceed in our earthly walk. In this walk, there are times when prayers are not answered. There are times when our prayers are not answered, when we pray, "Let this cup pass from me." Just as in Jesus' prayer in the garden. This is a time for patience. And yet, the prayer of the Son of God, Jesus, was not answered. But Jesus proved with his death that the God who sent him is trustworthy enough, is fully trustworthy, and we should trust him. So let us look up to that Jesus and keep the kingdom of heaven in mind, remembering that we have received a heavenly calling, and go forward every day with obedience and faith. Isn't that what we should do? And I would like to continue with a reading from the Word of God. From Hebrews 13. Verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, may your name, holy name, be praised. May we offer you our service, and we give you thanks that you have given these blessings to us. We wish to, in patience, come through our difficulties somehow in our earthly walk, more than those things we can see, may we focus our eyes on your eternal heavenly kingdom. Give us that strength. And prepare us for the work you have prepared for us. There are so many things in your great plan that we do not understand. Nevertheless, every day we can walk with you. This week again, guide us step by step. We give you thanks. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.